How often do you check your phone? Are you using it right now? You could have an addiction and not even know about it. Rising rates of internet addictions is a new concern for medical experts, but for a generation who have grown up with the internet in their pocket, is it really that much of a problem? Evangeline Maguire explores the world of digital obsession.
The internet has become intrinsic to everyday life, and as it grows with time, humanity's dependency and obsession with it grows too. Gemma Smart, candidate in History and Philosophy of Science at the University of Sydney, labels this new trend as internet addiction.
Generally speaking, it's meant to be a subcategory of addiction, which is to do with excessive use of the internet, but specifically usually internet games.
But how do you tell the difference between an internet addiction and just general everyday use? Gemma Smart believes that the internet becomes an addiction when it starts to cause a negative impact on your life.
If you're just using it all the time as a matter of part of your work or part of your contact with friends, then probably not a problem. It becomes the subject of at least possible addiction when you are using to the point that you can't function when there's a harm aspect involved. So in the same way as like alcohol use, when there's a harm aspect involved or gambling, then it becomes a problem.
Ben Abraham, lecturer in digital and social media at the University of Technology, Sydney, stresses the importance of keeping a distinction between habitual and social addictions. He says online addiction, although destructive, is not fatal.
And it's not like being addicted to heroin or a hard drug or something, because you'll have like withdrawal symptoms if you stop taking heroin, or if you're an alcoholic and you suddenly remove alcohol, you can actually like die from doing that. I don't think anyone will ever die from, you know, having their phone taken away from them.
Montana Tassel, a young university student, says she borders on addiction when it comes to her phone, but she is trying to channel her excessive phone use into something positive.
I am big advocate of self-love. I think self-love is amazing. I think too often women are told that they shouldn't love themselves, shouldn't be proud of the way they look. So I have a relationship with friends of mine where we will take photos of ourselves during the day and share it with each other, you know, like a group chat, and kind of we tell each other that we're beautiful and it's a nice, lovely thing.
Montana Tassel knew she had a problem when she started to feel anxious when she wasn't near her phone. For her, being close to her personal technology is crucial.
I do find myself becoming quite anxious if I don't have it or can't see it, or even like on my way to a place, if I can't map where I'm going, I get quite anxious, or update people as to where I am. I do, so I have quite an anxious relationship with it.
Nikki Riesel, a young university student studying at UNSW, says she tries to take a healthy approach when it comes to the online world.
I don't actually get anxious when I don't check my phone for a while. So if I'm doing something and I can't be on my phone, or I have to turn it off, or it's in another room, then I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything, because the way that I see it is any message that's come through to your phone, it's still going to be there whenever you check it. It's not like it's disappearing anywhere.
Nikki Riesel argues that social media does not necessarily reflect real life, and as a result can have negative effects on body image and self-esteem for young women.
Not everyone's lives are as they seem on social media, and I think that particularly for young girls, it's so easy to become wrapped up in that and question themselves as to why their lives aren't like other people's lives. So I think that it affects a lot of people's self-esteem, because social media is constantly making people compare their own situation to other people's situations, which is bad. And I also think that people are communicating a lot less and a lot less clearly with people than they used to.
Ben Abraham argues that website design and business play a role when it comes to internet addiction. As businesses measure success with clicks and views, there is an imperative to keep the user online for as long as possible.
More and more of life and online services or regular businesses are moving online, and as part of that they're engaging, I think, in these kind of brain hacking activities of like, you know, A/B testing to get the most ruthlessly efficient optimization and engagement and click-throughs and things like that. So I think there is a design trend, and I think it's driven by largely kind of business imperatives.
But is online addiction really a new addiction? Although our modern lives often require us to log on every day, the fear of new technology and its impact on our mind is nothing new. Ben Abraham again.
We saw in the kind of 1960s and 1970s the same kind of concerns about television. People would write these big, long editorial pieces about the television generation. Their mind is being rotted by it. And now, of course, if you compare television and mobile phones are much more interactive. They allow a lot more things. And so in some ways, they're kind of, we assume that they're better than just sitting in front of a TV, but the fear doesn't exist anymore around television. It now exists around phones.
That was Ben Abraham ending that report by Evangeline Maguire.